This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brother and sister. Press the bell icon on the YouTube app and never miss another update from Din 360.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. My topic is the power of a mother. And in our time especially, certain challenges are increasing, divorce is increasing, family breakups are increasing. It is increasingly putting women and families in very vulnerable situations, especially psychologically, where they feel that they are, you know, in a position of weakness, what do I do, and so on and so forth. So I want to tell you that perhaps one of the most powerful individuals on the face of this earth is a mother. I have a knack for searching great people in history. I like biographies. And I study their lives like a puzzle. You know, what made him become that? So, khalas, he did something great. What made him become that? One of those people that I came across is Alexander the Great. Hands up those who have heard that name, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great is great not by the definitions of his friends or his posse, or he's great by the definitions of history. You know, he left Macedonia, conquered Asia Minor, went to Bilad al-Sham, conquered the Levant, came to Iraq, took over Babylon, came to Persia, took over our lands, went to India, semi-conquered India, and then made his way back to Macedonia and died on the way. And you ask yourself, what drives a person relatively young for a conquest as big as this? Because it's not an ordinary thing. You know, I don't see you getting up to conquer the world, akhi. Yes, it's not an ordinary thing. So I rewind and search, you know, what was it that made this person this great Alexander? And the secret is in an utterance of his mother, according to my humble analysis. His mother used to tell him this. She used to say, "You are the son of Zeus." Zeus in Greek mythology was the god of gods. He was their biggest. And obviously, I don't encourage you to do this. Walillahi alhamd, we are Muslims, and this is, you know, issue of, you know, this is just to establish my point. And she used to tell him the story that when you were in my womb, I had this extraordinary experience, and you're the son of Zeus. So can you imagine a child feeling growing up with such a self-efficacy that I am not in the realm of men, I am one of the gods? He was 10 years old. They brought a gift to his father, a horse that was untamed. The father himself, Philip, was a king, couldn't go near it. But this young Alexander says, "I will jump on it and tame it, and it will become my mount." What made the child so confident, such a degree of self-efficacy that I can? It is the utterance of that mother. So to myself, the most powerful being is the mother. And don't think this is just Alexander the Great. Go search the annals of human history. Where there's greatness, there's a mother that made it. And a lot of times these mothers were single mothers. And some, although they were married, but their life situation was still single. Rabi'atul Ra'i, he was one of the big scholars of Islam, but his father was in the army of the son of Uthman ibn Affan. He went towards our areas, Khurasan. And there he lasted for many, many years. And by the time he came back, young Rabi' would have been grown into a man. But before he left, he gave the mother 30,000 coins. You know, here's this, look after yourself till I come back. Khurasan's a long way off. When he came back, as is the sunnah, he went to the masjid first. And in the masjid he saw, there's a young man sitting in a huge multitude around him. He is one of the seven fuqaha of Medina. So feeling like, what a man, what an achievement. He came home. The man is still in the masjid. He doesn't know it's my son. So he came home and talking to the wife, he goes, what did you do with the 30,000? So she said, go to the masjid, you will see your son. So he went to see, subhanallah, and he said, you spent it well. Do you see, the one that made that ordinary Rabi' into one of the giant of the scholars was the wisdom and the thought and the planning and the strategy and the vision and the outlook of that awesome woman who could have gone and bought shoes, but instead she bought an education and a life for us to look up to till Qiyamah come. The famous man Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Malik, the scholars say, in Imam Malik is a giant of the Ahlul Ilm. They say the young man wanted to be a singer. Did you know that? Malik rahimahullah, Malik wanted to be a singer. And Malik's father is paralyzed. Did you know that? Imam Malik's father is paralyzed. He was very limited, so he used to make arrows. That was his way of living. He used to make arrows and sell the arrows. So young Malik told his mom, I want to be a singer, because singers were looked after, and you know, there was pomp and ceremony around them. So this intelligent creature, this mother of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, tells him, says, Malik, singers are good looking. And this is to just sow doubt in his head, although Imam Malik is very good looking. And their career only lasts whilst they're young and good looking. And instead, she directed his attention towards ilm. You know how? She went and bought him clothing of the ulama. You know, the turban and the bisht. And she used to wash him and perfume him and sit him up and then ask him questions on the sufra. Malik, how many raka'ah is in zuhr? So Malik used to feel like a scholar and say, four. She changed his projectile towards ilm. And understand this, Muslims. You don't need money to create greatness. You don't need resources to create. All research states the same. It is the capacity of the mother and the capacity of a teacher that builds greatness. So interest sparked in the heart of Malik. And then the rest became just mechanics. So one of his famous sheikhs is Nafi' Mawla Ibn Umar. The student of Ibn Umar. And the freed slave of Ibn Umar. And this is called the golden chain of narration and hadith for those who study hadith. Imam al-Shafi'i from Imam Malik, from Nafi', from Ibn Umar, from the Prophet of Allah, they call this the golden chain. So Nafi' was a strict man. He didn't have time for people all the time. Sheikh, can I ask questions? You know, time wasting. Nafi' rahimahullahu ta'ala wa radiyallahu anhu used to go to the mosque at a specific time. His dars was from this time to this time. If you have questions, ask then. Once I'm home, you do not intervene and interfere. I have to do my research and my study. So Malik knew this and is sitting in a gathering where there's huge scholars. He wouldn't ever get a chance to ask. So look at the ingenuity of the man, a product of the thirst for knowledge that the mom has instilled in him. He used to go and wait outside the house of Nafi'. And then he used to walk with him to the mosque. just pretending this is coincidental. And when they used to take their shoes off at the door, Malik used to take his shoes off and look at the sheikh and say, Assalamu alaikum. And then they used to enter. After the dars and the salah used to finish, you know, because sheikh, my shoes is next to your shoes, I'm not stalking you, you know, this is coincidence. He used to walk back with him. And now they had acquaintance, they knew each other. So he used to say, sheikh, what about this hadith and what about this hadith? And Malik became Imam Malik at the hands of this lady. Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, go search history. He was, some scholars say, when he was in the womb of his mom, the father passed away. Some say a couple of months after his birth, the father passed away. Who made Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i Imam al-Shafi'i? And what did she have? Financially, she was very poor. But she designs the whole curriculum of this young lad more than any scholar of our time could. She took him to Mecca, go learn the Quran now. She sent him to this Rabi'atul Ra'i, go learn his manners before you learn the deen from him. He became a hafiz, started to study hadith. Then she said, you need language, so go to the desert near Mecca and go and stay for years with the Arab tribe so that your language, you become master of the language. Go to Imam Malik in Medina and study the Muwatta. And Shafi'i Imam, you know, became Imam al-Shafi'i at the hands of this woman. My sisters, they have talked, you know, the time is very limited to speak, but you make or break the future generation. And you brothers have a responsibility to build and educate and honor and respect and make mothers and sisters who have the capacity to bring about greatness, or you can keep them, you know, the backward, uneducated, immaterial, unmattered individuals who will bring generation after generation of failures. And understand this. And, you know, so far my evidence is from history. Look at the Quran. Because you will say, Ustaz, what is dalil for this? You go, look at the Quran. When the mother was good, look at Ismail alayhi salam. Single mother brought him up in the desert. From a father who left him there since young and came back at old, you know, when he had reached manhood. Had she been a poor mother, a weak mother, and, you know, an unfaithful mother, she would have poisoned his head with, where was he for your second birthday? Where? Why didn't he buy you this? Why didn't he come for your celebration? He didn't even give me a Valentine's gift. Instead, when he comes years later, a prophet of God, seeing Ismail alayhi salam, he utters this proposition, my son, I have seen in a dream, anni azbahuk, that I am sacrificing you, fanzur madha tara, then see what is your opinion. And the upbringing of a righteous mother is this, ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni in Allah, oh my father, do as you have been commanded. You will find me by the grace of Allah, of those who will bear it patiently. That is an upbringing of a righteous mother, of an intelligent mother, of a far-sighted mother. And when you look at the other side, the wife of a prophet, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ فَخَانَتَهُمَا. Two wives of two prophets, Nuh and Lut, alayhim afdalu salatu wa atammu taslim. And the father is a prophet, yet the mother is a disbeliever. The son became a disbeliever. And the Quran records it, ya bunayyar kam ma'ana wa la takum. Oh my son, come with us and don't be of those who are left behind. He says, I will go into the mountain. I will resist the punishment of Allah Rabbul Izzah. So Allah destroyed him. Nuh alayhi salam says, ya Rabb, he was from my family, and you promised the protection of my family. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, he wasn't from your family. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He was an unrighteous deed. Do you see the mother? My sisters, perhaps for some the time is too late, the children have already grown. I give you an advice, وَرَبُّ الْكَعْبَ, from the depth of my heart. bring up your children to become successful parents and successful upbringers of the next generation. Otherwise, the graveyards will become filled with capacity and jewels that never reach their flourishing. Generations will come and generations will go. For your time and patience, I thank you. I have trespassed on your patience yet again. May Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you and guide you and guard you. Keep your brother in your dua. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. مثل الربا والشجر فتهدي الضياء لها يا قمر أتعشقها.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brother and sister. Press the bell icon on the YouTube app and never miss another update from Deen 360.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. My topic is the power of a mother. And in our time especially, certain challenges are increasing, divorce is increasing, family breakups are increasing. It is increasingly putting women and families in very vulnerable situations, especially psychologically, where they feel that they are, you know, in a position of weakness, what do I do, and so on and so forth. So I want to tell you that perhaps one of the most powerful individuals on the face of this earth is a mother. I have a knack for searching great people in history. I like biographies. And I study their lives like a puzzle. You know, what made him become that? So khalas, he did something great. What made him become that? One of those people that I came across is Alexander the Great. Hands up those who have heard that name, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great is great not by the definitions of his friends or his posse, or he's great by the definitions of history. You know, he left Macedonia, conquered Asia Minor, went to Bilad al-Sham, conquered the Levant, came to Iraq, took over Babylon, came to Persia, took over our lands, went to India, semi-conquered India, and then made his way back to Macedonia and died on the way. And you ask yourself, what drives a person relatively young for a conquest as big as this? Because it's not an ordinary thing. You know, I don't see you getting up to conquer the world, akhi. Yes, it's not an ordinary thing. So I rewind, perfume him, and sit him up, and then ask him questions on the sufra. Malik, how many raka'ah is in zuhr? So Malik used to feel like a scholar and say four. She changed his projectile towards ilm. And understand this, Muslims. You don't need money to create greatness. You don't need resources to create. All research states the same. It is the capacity of the mother and the capacity of a teacher that builds greatness. So interest sparked in the heart of Malik, and then the rest became just mechanics. So one of his famous sheikhs is Nafi' Mawla Ibn Umar. You know, the student of Ibn Umar. And the freed slave of Ibn Umar. And this is called the golden chain of narration and hadith for those who study hadith. Imam al-Shafi'i from Imam Malik, from Nafi', from Ibn Umar, from the Prophet of Allah, they call this the golden chain. So Nafi' was a strict man. He didn't have time for people all the time. Sheikh, can I ask questions? You know, time wasting. Nafi' rahimahullah ta'ala wa radiyallahu anh used to go to the mosque at a specific time. His dars was from this time to this time. If you have questions, ask then. Once I'm home, you do not intervene and interfere. I have to do my research and my study. So Malik knew this and is sitting in a gathering where there's huge scholars. He wouldn't ever get a chance to ask. So look at the ingenuity of the man, a product of the thirst for knowledge that the mom has instilled in him. He used to go and wait outside the house of Nafi'. And then he used to walk with him to the mosque, just pretending this is coincidental. And when they used to take their shoes off at the door, Malik used to take his shoes off and look at the sheikh and say, Assalamu alaikum. And then they used to enter. After the dars and the salah used to finish, you know, because sheikh, my shoes is next to your shoe, so I'm not stalking you, you know, this is coincidence. He used to walk back with him. And now they had acquaintance, they knew each other. So he used to say, Sheikh, what about this hadith and what about this hadith? And Malik became Imam Malik at the hands of this lady. Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. Go search history. Some scholars say when he was in the womb of his mom, the father passed away. Some say a couple of months after his birth, the father passed away. Who made Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i Imam al-Shafi'i? And what did she have? Financially, she was very poor. But she designs the whole curriculum of this young lad more than any scholar of our time could. She took him to Mecca. Go learn the Quran now. She sent him to this Rabi'atul Ra'i. Go learn his manners before you learn the deen from him. He became a hafiz, started to study hadith. Then she said, you need language, so go to the desert near Mecca and go and stay for years with the Arab tribe so that you become master of the language. Go to Imam Malik in Medina and study the Muwatta. And Shafi'i Imam, you know, became Imam al-Shafi'i at the hands of this woman. My sisters, they have talked, you know, the time is very limited to speak, but you make or break the future generation. And you brothers have a responsibility to build and educate and honor and respect and make mothers and sisters who have the capacity to bring about greatness, or you can keep them, you know, the backward, uneducated, immaterial, unmattered individuals who will bring generation after generation of failures. And understand this. And, you know, so far my evidence is from history. Look at the Quran. Because you will say, Ustaz, what is Dalil for this? You go, look at the Quran. When the mother was good, look at Ismail alayhi salam. Single mother brought him up in the desert. From a father who left him there since young and came back at old, you know, when he had reached manhood. Had she been a poor mother, a weak mother, and, you know, an unfaithful mother, in search, you know, what was it that made this person this great Alexander? And the secret is in an utterance of his mother, according to my humble analysis. His mother used to tell him this. She used to say, you are the son of Zeus. Zeus in Greek mythology was the god of gods. He was their biggest. And obviously, I don't encourage you to do this. Walillahi alhamd, we are Muslims, and this is, you know, issue of, you know, this is just to establish my point. And she used to tell him the story that when you were in my womb, I had this extraordinary experience, and you're the son of Zeus. So can you imagine a child feeling growing up with such a self-efficacy that I am not in the realm of men, I am one of the gods? He was 10 years old. They brought a gift to his father, a horse that was untamed. The father himself, Philip, was a king, couldn't go near it. But this young Alexander says, I will jump on it and tame it and it will become my mount. What made the child so confident, such a degree of self-efficacy that I can? It is the utterance of that mother. So to myself, the most powerful being is the mother. And don't think this is just Alexander the Great. Go search the annals of human history. Where there's greatness, there's a mother that made it. And a lot of times these mothers were single mothers. And some, although they were married, but their life situation was still single. Rabi'atul Ra'i, he was one of the big scholars of Islam, but his father was in the army of the son of Uthman ibn Affan. He went towards our areas, Khurasan. And there he lasted for many, many years. And by the time he came back, young Rabi', you know, would have been grown into a man. But before he left, he gave the mother 30,000 coins. You know, here's this, look after yourself till I come back. Khurasan's a long way off. When he came back, as is the sunnah, he went to the masjid first. And in the masjid he saw, there's a young man sitting in a huge multitude around him. He is one of the seven fuqaha of Medina. So feeling like, what a man, what an achievement. He came home. The man is still in the masjid. He doesn't know it's my son. So he came home. And talking to the wife, he goes, what did you do with the 30,000? So she said, go to the masjid, you will see your son. So he went to see, subhanallah, and she said, you spent it well. Do you see, the one that made that ordinary Rabi' into one of the giant of the scholars was the wisdom and the thought and the planning and the strategy and the vision and the outlook of that awesome woman who could have gone and bought shoes, but instead she bought an education and a life for us to look up to till Qiyamah come. The famous man Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Malik, the scholars say, in Imam Malik is a giant of the Ahlul Ilm. They say the young man wanted to be a singer. Did you know that? Malik rahimahullah, Malik wanted to be a singer. And Malik's father is paralyzed. Did you know that? Imam Malik's father is paralyzed. He was very limited, so he used to make arrows. That was his way of living. He used to make arrows and sell the arrows. So young Malik told his mama, I want to be a singer, because singers were looked after, and you know, there was pomp and ceremony around them. So this intelligent creature, this mother of Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, tells him, says, Malik, singers are good looking. And this is to just sow doubt in his head, although Imam Malik is very good looking. And their career only lasts whilst they're young and good looking. And instead, she directed his attention towards ilm. You know how? She went and bought him clothing of the ulama. You know, the turban and the bisht. And she used to wash him and...